The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Well, it was a bad couple days if you're a fan of the Indy 500 because the open test didn't go down.
That happens in April.
It's the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Brad's here. Kev's here. All right, Brad, you are Mr. Indy 500. You love the race.
I love the 500.
And this is a big part of for people who are fans. Look, I kind of put the Indy 500 fans into buckets. Like I have three buckets of people who take interest in the Indy 500. There's people like me who are interested solely because you're a lifelong Hoosier, the pageantry. You know it's a big deal. You know it's the world's largest single-day sporting event. You love hearing back home again in Indiana. You are interested in that for that 1 week. You're interested in racing, and then you don't think a thing about it again until that time the next year.
And that's fine. Those fans are welcome.
And every year I'm listening on WIBC, and I'm participating in it, and I'm excited. And then as soon as the checkered flag drops, okay, well, then I guess I'll see you next year.
Have you ever thought about becoming like the reporter from Turn 2 or something?
They're going really fast. Oh my gosh, did you see that? And then there's kind of what I call the passive race fan who is interested enough in racing. They know who the drivers are. They kind of keep a little bit of an eye on the sport, and maybe they do that in part so they'll be more educated about the Indy 500. And so they kind of have a working knowledge of what's going on. And then there's Indy 500 super fan, where their entire month of May is consumed by it, and that day is one of their favorite days of the year. And I kind of throw you into that bucket because
I tend to watch all the races and series, and I love that Peacock has extended coverage of practices and that sort of thing. So yes, I would call myself a diehard.
So for Indy 500 super fan, of which, look, let's face it, in Indianapolis there are many, many people who fall into that bucket.
Oh yeah.
The open test and not having this is kind of a real letdown for guys like you.
It is, although I mean, as I mentioned, it's April. I mean, you cannot depend on getting a good day in April. It could have been 35 and snowing, or you know, it's rainy and cloudy a lot in April. So they can schedule it all they want, but, you know, at least I got a few laps in. I think the bigger thing will be if you're a Graham Rahal or a Callum Ilott or somebody who's potentially, at least last year, was iffy on making it into the race, you probably needed this time to see how your package is going to hold up.
So now the open test is, explained for the average person, the open test, it takes place in April. It is a chance for basically any person to get on the track, go around the track, try different things out. It is basically an opportunity for you to see if you are thinking about being in the Indy 500, what's working and what's not.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. Try out what the changes you made in the offseason. Are these going to work? Are these going to not work? If you're Kyle Larson, who's never run an open wheel car at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, turns out things worked out pretty well for him because he was at the top of the leaderboard.
Okay, so two questions popped out of this. Obviously, that was kind of disappointing that people didn't get a chance to see that, but it really sparked two questions for me, and I knew you were going to be in today, so I thought you would be the perfect person to ask both these things to. Number one, why has IndyCar in the last 5 or 6 years become so popular again? It sort of felt like as a kid growing up, and perspective when you're a kid is a little off, but it seemed like it was the biggest thing that happens in this state every single year, and the whole month was captivated by it. And then I get that much of it was brought on by the split, but even many, many years after the split, the Indy 500 almost felt like an afterthought. The race itself was big, but the lead up wasn't big. It didn't seem like there was hype. And then really over the past 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years, it seems like it has once again, the Indy 500 has regained this prestige of mass, not only Indiana-wide interest, not only nationwide interest, but really worldwide interest, that the fervor I remember as a kid of the Indy 500 seems to be back again.
It does seem to be back. And this is just off the top of my head, but reasons I can see that. One, the racing is amazingly good, close. There's strategy that goes into it. They're running 60 miles an hour faster than a NASCAR does, so there's some of that thrill of danger.
Let me ask you that, because again, as just a total amateur novice racing observer, isn't that what part of why NASCAR became, because remember in the early 2000s NASCAR was total king. Yep. The Brickyard was far more popular than the Indy 500. Isn't it? And now we have seen the switch back because NASCAR has become much less competitive. It seems like much of the interest in racing is based on how competitive will the race actually be.
Correct. And yeah, in NASCAR, which they've gone to a formula where pretty much every car is the same. But it makes it, there's not the rivalries. There's, because all the cars are the same, you don't see a lot of passing, which obviously makes it lends itself to viewing, and it makes it exciting. Another thing that I think IndyCar has done is they've had continuity of drivers. Mm-hmm. By and large, their stars seem to have been there now for a while. And if you look pre-split, so this goes back 30 years ago, regardless of whether or not there was a split, IndyCar was going to have some hurdles to cross because all of their big stars are retired at about the same time. Yeah. So Emerson Fittipaldi retired, Rick Mears retired, Al Unser Sr. retired, Gordon Johncock retired, Johnny Rutherford retired. All those guys left at about the same time. Bobby Rahal retired right after the split. So there was going to be a void in people, drivers that the casual fan recognized anyhow. And then the third thing that I think has really helped is their TV contract used to be split between NBC and ESPN. They're now consistently on the NBC platforms. They get a lot of the big NBC national coverage, so not a lot ends up on Peacock or USA. And I think it's just easier for the casual fan to know where it is to look for it.
Well, let's face it. Like, the Indy 500 is the New York Yankees or the Boston Celtics or the Dallas Cowboys of racing. Like, people can hate the Cowboys, I hate the Yankees. The sport is better. In this case, hate the Lakers. The sport is better, though, when these heritage franchises, these marquee franchises, are doing well, because there's more interest. There's more people paying attention. Maybe you watch because you hate. Maybe you watch because you love, but you're paying attention. Same thing with the Indy 500. We need, like Indiana needs, first of all, but that sport needs the Indy 500 to be the dominant thing that eclipses everything else. And it seems like they've gotten that again, and it has translated to a huge increase in interest in racing, kind of Indy car racing across the board.
It has. And some of it just, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is kind of our beach. It's the sign of spring. I mean, I remember as a younger man, I would go out there just for practice days, and I cared about the cars, but I went out because I could have some sun. I could take a cooler, a beer. You'd see hot women out there doing the exact same things.
Doing the unspeakable.
I remember one of the greatest things. Me and some buddies, actually every year, my parents would sign off. I'm typically a rule follower.
Yes.
One day each year, my parents would sign me out of school on a Friday, and me and a couple buddies would go out to the speedway and watch the cars go around. And I distinctly remember one day we're in the bleachers, and I look about 10 rows behind us. There's a teacher from my school there, and we each looked at each other, and we had that acknowledgement of neither one of us is going to tell on the other one. It's all good.
Okay, so it didn't prompt this question for me, because obviously IndyCar, Indy 500 dominates everything we consume in Indiana in May. Everything right. Centers around that, whether it's the parade, the dinner, the race itself, the festivities leading up, bump day, qualifications, all those things. But there's also a marquee worldwide sporting event that has worldwide interest in May, and that is the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And so I thought this would be an interesting exercise. Again, you're a total Indy 500 homer and cheerleader. I'm an Indy 500 homer from the standpoint of a lifelong Hoosier. But worldwide, if we try to do this little exercise and take ourselves out of the equation for a minute, what is the bigger deal? Is the bigger deal, and I'm talking about right now, is the bigger deal the Indy 500, or is the bigger deal the Kentucky Derby?
Man, those are close. Because NBC covers both of them. And so like on Kentucky Derby Day, they will have a full day of racing. So I think they start their coverage at 2 o'clock on the big NBC. And if you go to one of the sub NBCs, I think you'll get coverage in the morning. They'll also cover the Oaks the day before. So they make it a week long. The casual bettor that doesn't know anything about these horses will throw money out there. I know the hardcore horse racing bettors will avoid those races because they're like, all the lines get squirrely because there's people betting on stories. They don't really know what they're talking about with the horses. But I would say both of those events are probably equal in stature to each other for their communities. What it means to Central Indiana,
But if you were to take, let's take some guy, let's say in Dubuque, Iowa, right? Or Wheeling, West Virginia. And you said, what's the bigger single day event, the Kentucky Derby or the Indy 500? What do you think the average person is saying?
That's a good question. I think the Indy 500. It's on Memorial Day weekend.
I tend to agree with you on that.
It's got, I mean, the radio network is 400 or 500 stations deep, and it goes around the world. You know, the bigger question, you said Dubuque, Iowa or Wheeling, West Virginia. What if you go over to Europe? If you're in Belgium and you ask, what is the bigger deal?
It's totally Indy 500.
Correct.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's obviously a bigger venue. It's a bigger single day event from a just sheer mass humanity standpoint. There is a worldwide interest in IndyCar, unlike the Kentucky Derby. And let's face it, the Kentucky Derby is what, 2 minutes? Right?
Yeah,
the actual race itself?
Whereas the Indy 500 is 3 hours.
Right.
Give
I mean,
or take.
Yeah. So yeah. I tend to agree with you that. And I'm trying to say this as someone taking a personal bias out of it. But I just saw I was so sad that the open test got kind of largely canceled, because I know it's such a big deal for IndyCar people. I thought that'd be a good little conversation for us to have. And I would be very curious, at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter, or you can call the hotline 317-684-8444. What do you think? Take away your Indiana bias or homerism. What do you think is the bigger single-day event, Indy 500 or the Kentucky Derby?
Now, Rob, those who have listened to me on this show, and I've done it with Casey, in the past, if there's been a French driver, I will usually say his name, say Simon Pagenaud, and then follow it with a ha-ha-ha. But now we're running out of French drivers. I think we're down to one or none this year, but there's a ton of Swedes.
Oh,
so
is that going to be your new one?
As a tribute to the Swedish chef, I think whatever one of the Swedes' names come up, we just say, bork, bork, bork.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Kevin, our very fabulous producer, may have uncovered something about a very popular political ad that's running.
Breaking news.
And it blew my mind. This is all on Kevin. And Kevin's earned his money today. We'll reveal what that is when we come back. It's Kendall and Casey Show on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect for this week. It's Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Brad's in for Casey. Kev's here. So Kev, a little Ardine Taylor there too as we fade out. Very nice, Kev.
Yeah, a little Indiana. Thematic, keeping it thematic right there.
So Kev uncovered something earlier today, and he told me, and then when he told me that, I had him put the things together, and it blew my mind because I think it's true. So the 5th Congressional District, as we have said,
hotly contested.
It's way more entertaining than the governor's race.
Oh, for sure.
You got Chuck Goodrich calling Sparks basically a nut job.
Yeah.
And by the way, you did interview for a job one time with Victoria Sparks.
I did.
You?
So...
Was
it
as bad as the ad?
It is the ad, I think. I will just put it out there. So I went through the interview process. Yeah. I interviewed with her chief of staff twice. I then interviewed with the congresswoman. She offered me a job, and then they ghosted me.
So Goodrich is running an ad basically saying she's a complete lunatic. Which there was, I think, a news report about that or something about.
Yeah,
how
it was in Politico, I think, a couple of years ago.
And then she's running ads against him, calling him China Chuck. And I said, all right, this is the way it should be. We're fighting to go to the U.S. Congress here. This isn't for some, you know, T-ball trophy. Let's take the gloves off. Let's go. And, you know, the whole race had kind of been about these two getting all the publicity. And then out of nowhere... This guy, Raju Chinthala, is that, am I saying his name? Right? Close enough. He's by all accounts, he's from Carmel. He's a very successful businessman. He and is very connected inside the kind of the establishment of the Republican, the party structure. Right. He starts running ads like kind of late to the game by.
Yeah, he's trying to do that last minute surprise, but I'm not sure that's going to work, but we'll see. Good luck to him.
But he start, I mean, he's run a bevy of ads. He's, full disclosure, running ads on this radio station. I think he's running them on others. And everybody's not even talking about him as a candidate. They're talking about his ad.
They're unique.
Because, yes, he's sort of gone with this, like, down homey Lee Greenwood. You want to, it sounds like the that ice cream.
The Bluebell ice cream.
The Bluebell ice cream. Where he, it's like the most Americana thing.
Yeah, the baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
Can we hear just a little bit of that ad, Kev? Raju, Raju, shades of red, white, and blue. Guarding dreams for all, he believes in you. I just love that. Guarding dreams for all, he believes in you.
I have a question. Are we going to bill him for that, or is that a freebie?
Well, I think we're about to uncover something here, okay. Or Kev did. So, and everybody's talking about this. Like, you, Hammer and I were talking about that. They're getting bombarded with it. We've gotten bombarded with it. People are like, I don't even know what this guy's views are or anything, but that ad is hilarious. And people are talking, which that's the purpose of the ad, right?
Like, right. They're talking about it, yes.
All three of these candidates are running good ads. We're talking about how Sparks is allegedly some sort of crazy person who's mean to her employees. You got, China Chuck. You got this thing. And so we've been talking for weeks. I'm like, where have we heard that Raju ad? Sounds so familiar. Like, I've heard it before. And we were saying it sounds like the Bluebell ice cream ad. Is that it? Nah, is that cut in? And then Kevin comes running in today and goes, I found it. I found where that ad is from. Are you familiar with the show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I'm familiar, yes. Yeah,
a very popular show. Is it still on anymore?
Yeah, I think it's still on. I think it's just on streaming services.
It's like 20 years now or something this show has been on, and it's got Danny DeVito in it, and there are these guys. They're all kind of wacky. It's like a bizarro version of Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's like Seinfeld on crack is how they used to advertise.
Exactly.
It
was on FX for years. They own this bar in Philadelphia, and they're all kind of crazy. It was a very, very popular show at one point. One of the more famous episodes, I think the name of the episode is actually Nightman, and one of the characters is writing an opera in his apartment. Charlie,
he's the illiterate musical genius. Yes. He's one of the members of the gang.
And he writes this opera about this guy called the Nightman. And showing him putting this just totally whacked out thing together. And Kev, you actually said, I think Raju kind of is the Nightman.
Yeah, well, there's that song, Dayman, at the end of the play, and lyrically, it's pretty similar to Raju's.
Even kind of musically, it sounds
it's a little similar.
Should we play it?
Yeah,
should we play? All right, here we go.
Dayman! Victor of the Nightman! Champion of the sun! You're a master of karate!
You're a master of karate and friendship for everyone.
And the Raju is the Raju. So what is the day man?
It's
so
you're the master of karate and friendship for everyone.
Yeah, and Raju is shades of red, white, and blue,
guarding you.
And we believe in you.
Yeah, guarding dreams.
Guarding dreams. We believe in you.
And we believe in you. So. I would need to hear these right next to each other because I think there is some merit. So, Kev, is it possible we could splice these two together to see if indeed Raju might be the Nightman?
Yeah, here we go.
Raju, Raju, shades of red, white, and blue. Guarding dreams for all, he believes in you.
Raju is Dayman.
I love this so much, and I love that you uncovered this. And this is why we've been begging these people in the governor's race to do something remotely interesting, because this is fun to talk about.
Oh, this is gold. Radio gold right here.
Ah, that's good stuff, Kev. It's Kendall and Casey Show, 93 WIBC. O.J. Simpson died owing the estates of or the families, rather, of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson $100 million.
Yeah.
That's an incredible amount of money.
You ever going to have $100 million, Rob?
I don't think so. I mean, and look, you know, we talked about this, and I know Hammer obviously did a wonderful job of articulating how he felt yesterday. It amazes me that there even is a story about O.J. Simpson being a football player. I mean, or the movie star. I mean, the story is, I mean, I guess he was those things, but the story is he's some guy who brutally murdered his ex-wife and some innocent guy who was bringing her back sunglasses. He's a complete lunatic, and he got away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the first half of his life, he was a very positive, uplifting story. Came from the projects of San Francisco and, yeah, took USC to a national championship, I believe, and he was a Heisman Trophy winner and, you know, great athlete for the Buffalo Bills, first man to ever rush for 2,000 yards in a season, and then, yeah, did the Naked Gun movies and a couple other movies. That was up until age, I think, 42. He offs his ex-wife, and
yeah,
then he runs around saying he's looking for the killer.
Here's the thing, though. It wasn't like, even, not that it would make it any better, but it wasn't like, you know, you hear these stories of a guy who comes home and catches his wife with another man and in a fit of rage, you know, commits a heinous act and spends the rest of his days trying to make amends and regretful and whatever. O.J. Simpson, by all accounts, was a serial abuser. He was a serial manipulator. He was a horrible human being leading up to, I mean, he terrified that woman. I mean, she spent her life in fear of him, and nobody did anything about it. That's the crazy thing. There were so many instances where the police out there knew what he was, knew what he'd been accused of, and they let him just basically skedoodle time and time again out of the trap of justice, which might have prevented him from killing her.
The benefits of celebrity.
Right. And so not only is he not that, I mean, he was a guy who terrified this woman for years. He commits this heinous act of murder, never, ever cops up to it, spends the remainder of his days flaunting the fact that he got off on it, torturing the families. I mean, poor Ron Goldman. I mean, think about
it. Oh, yeah.
Had nothing to do with any of this.
No, yeah, he was an innocent.
Yeah, and the guy is just a complete scumbag. And I think that's the greatest thing, is that he kind of spent the remainder of his days figuring out how to not give money to these people who he clearly, I mean, he obviously tortured those families because he killed those people.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of surprised some of the networks, like the lead story was him being a football player or an actor. It's like, no, he's a double murderer. He's a complete scumbag.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's known for. In fact, Hammer and Nigel had Greg Garrison on yesterday afternoon, and that was a really good listen because Greg Garrison covered that story, I think, for CBS News.
Yeah, so I hope they get everything that estate had. Not that it makes it any better or is in any way going to bring them any sort of justice. I mean, even if they'd have convicted him of murder, it wouldn't bring you justice because your kids are not coming back. I mean, those OJ's kids that he had with Nicole grew up without, you know, a mother. I mean, but at least it would have been some semblance of he won't be living his life as a free person. And that's the great injustice in all of this, is those two innocent people who, one of them he spent years torturing, who he should have not been able to be around her to begin with, they got nothing out of this, and he got to live his life as a free person for 30 years. However, that being said, the reality of this is the O.J. Simpson saga and the Bronco chase, it is, and we talked about this yesterday, it is one of the five or six most significant events of the 20th century because it's one of those things where everybody remembers exactly where they were.
Right. So let me ask you, and you might have covered this yesterday, where were you when the Bronco chase went down?
Totally. I was 10 years old. I remember the entire evening. I was at the Brownsburg Little League fields, and I can remember my dad and I getting home as fast as possible to turn on the television because people were giving you updates. This was pre-internet. People didn't have a cell phone or whatever, but people were giving you updates on what was going on and then sprinting home to watch the thing unfold in real time. And so whether you're 10 or you were 40 or whatever you were, you remember. Were you in college?
I was in college or right out of college. I do distinctly remember it was like a Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
But early evening, and there was me and a buddy, and we were over at my mom's house getting ready to go out and party that weekend. And I believe that there was an NBA playoff game.
It was the finals.
That's right. The finals were
Knicks
happening.
Knicks and the Rockets.
And so I think we were going to watch that for a little bit. And all of a sudden, they started going back and forth between the finals and the O.J. chase. And O.J. chase won out.
Yeah. There's a great documentary about this. ESPN did it in the 30 for 30 series. It's simply The Date is the name of the documentary, but it's like June 17th, 1994. And it's all about the things. There were so many significant sporting things going on. And then OJ, obviously a sports star, while this is not sports related, was sort of at the epicenter of all of it. There are all these incredible, like the U.S. Open. It was Arnold Palmer's farewell at the U.S. Open. There was the NBA Finals. I think the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, there was just this incredible sporting day, and it was obviously this weird sports kind of related thing at the epicenter of all of it. Okay, so you have something for us.
I typically, when I come in, especially on Fridays, I bring gifts.
Yes, you do. That's why we love having you in.
Well, thank you.
What is this?
So this is actually the exact same thing I brought you last time.
Oh,
I was in on a Friday. So these are Polliner 1 liter cans that come with a 1 liter stein.
I love that. We love the steins.
Yes. So as Kevin was doing the heavy math of, if I drank this whole thing, could I still drive home?
No, Kevin, wait till you get home.
So I find these to be a nice little gift to give away. And cheers.
You know, the great thing about the stein is it's just a gift. It's like the Jelly of the Month Club. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Like every time now I use that stein, I will think of you far more than if that beer had been consumed and then, you know,
right, then you throw away the can and there's nothing. Right. So now you each have a pair of these steins.
I love
so
that.
You and your wife or Kev, you and a buddy can, you know, you pour beers in there. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's such an efficient way to measure how much beer you should consume.
Yes.
In one sitting. Very German.
Oh my goodness. All right. So well, thank you. And you're always so good. And I love that you brought your master's koozie out today for the day. And we were commenting on this before the show. Everything the Masters does is beautiful. Like their hats, the koozies, the shirts. It's a great color pattern. I don't know who conceived that all those years ago, but that green and yellow is outstanding.
It is. And this is probably the nicest quality koozie I've ever owned. It's stitched with the Masters and their logo on the front. I'll hold this up. And got nice stitching on the side. It's kind of that neoprene material. But yeah, this is a fabulous koozie.
All right. When we come back, Brad and I are going to talk with Susan Beckwith. It's your Mind Your Manners segment. And we're going to talk about the rudest things you can do in someone else's home. This is going to be one of the best ones we've ever done. Kendall and Casey Show, 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Susan, looks like I'm losing my mind.
All right, Brad, it is time to wrap up the work week. And as you know, Brad, on this program, we send people into the work week with the tools and decency necessary to be better members of society.
I think we all need a dose of that.
It's called Mind Your Manners. And to do that, we bring in, we've got an expert. Brad wouldn't rely on us to mind your manners. We have an expert. She's a former Miss Indiana. Her name is Susan Beckwith. And Brad, you're going to love this topic this week. Susan has searched the internet far and wide, and we're going to discuss the rudest things you can do in someone else's house. Susan, you have a maniacal mind to come up with this. I love this topic.
It is very appropriate, and there were lots of things covered in this particular article and good reminders, so we're just going to have time to hit a few. But yes, lots of good reminders. I feel like I have done some of these myself, and then there have been some that have been done in my own home.
Okay, so Susan kind of sent me a variety of options Brad could pick from. And I went, and I'm going to see if you back me up on this. The number one thing, and there are all sorts of things people could do that are rude in someone else's house. I said the number one thing from the list Susan sent me was snooping in someone else's house.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes, it is. As someone that hosts a lot, absolutely.
Yes. Susan, tell us why it would be so rude if you were to go snooping in someone else's house.
Well, you know, a lot of times if they've put things away they don't want you to see. You know, everybody has a junk drawer, but, you know, there are things that are just off limits. So you want to obviously be respectful of that and stick to the areas that you know that they have been intentional and have prepared for you in advance. So, and with that, you know, don't expect a tour. You know, obviously there are probably certain areas that they have dedicated for your visit, but stick to those designated spots.
Brad, like I think about your house, where your house is basically an open book and you let people kind of wander through, and then you have the fabulous speakeasy there at the top of the house. So I would think that would be the rudest thing you could do in your house, because clearly if it is not out, you don't want people to see it or mess with it.
Exactly. There are some rooms that are just off limits, like our bedroom. So what people don't know is we cram all the junk into the bedroom when we're having company, so the rest of the house looks put together, but there's one room that's a disaster.
Susan Beck with us, our guest. It's Mind Your Manners. We're talking about the rudest things you can do in somebody's house. All right, Susan, from the list you sent me, I thought this was number two, touching or moving things in the house, but I totally could see you walking into someone else's house and going, everything's totally out of order.
I would say that I totally wouldn't, but I am so guilty of this. Actually, I'm highly embarrassed about this situation now, but when Mike and I were first dating, it was my first visit ever to his parents' home in Michigan. I was like a freshman or sophomore in college, and I don't know if it was just my nervous energy, but I completely reorganized their refrigerator. Like, I don't know what came over me. I think about my son Brody now. Obviously, he's only 7, so we've got hopefully a couple more decades, but I think if somebody I didn't know just came in and emptied my refrigerator and reorganized it, I would just, you know, that would have really taken me aback. So his parents were amazing and very gracious about it. I think I was just so nervous. It was like something I could focus on, but yes, that is not, I would not advise touching or moving things in someone else's home.
Did you throw away all the old leftovers?
I don't remember that. That's been, you know, over 20 years ago, but I don't know if it was like, when I get nervous, I clean. So I think that was a big part of it.
Wait. So we got to back this up for a second. So you had just, this was not like Mike and I are engaged, Micah and I are married,
no.
Mike and I have been together for many years. You had just started dating this guy. You go to his parents' house and your gut reaction is, I'm going to clean out their fridge.
Yes, I don't know. I think I was just so nervous and I just started on it and I was like, oh goodness, now I have to finish. His dad was elated. So sweet. She really honestly is a gem. And so, but I look back and I think I am so embarrassed about that whole story.
that is something else. I mean, we might need to like institutionalize you at some point and get to the bottom of what that was all about, because I have seen a lot of chicks do a lot of weird things in my house, but one of them was not clean out the refrigerator.
Oh my word, I thought you would have my back, Rob, because I know that you also like things in a certain place and organization and have a little bit of OCD sometimes. But
my own stuff, Susan, my own stuff in my own house. Like, I don't care what you do in yours. Susan Beck with us, our guest. It's the Mind Your Manners segment. Brad, today we are doing the rudest things you can do in someone else's house. And okay, so, yes, go ahead.
I have a question for you, Susan.
Yes.
Decorative soaps in a bathroom. Decoration only or available for use?
I don't like those because it kind of grosses me out, because I feel like once they're all, you know, they've been used, I much prefer like a hand dispenser. So I usually say decorative.
So you're talking about the actual physical soaps, Brad.
Like the little bars that are in the shape of a flower or something. Usually you only see them in old people's
homes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do you have those?
No, I don't.
Okay,
but
I was going to say.
But for my own amusement, I've used them in other people's homes.
Really funny about, you know, hand towels, that once they get really used and they're very saturated, if you know what I'm talking about. So I like to, if I'm hosting guests, they actually have something called guest napkins. So I like to use those. So you're probably completely lost on whatever I'm talking about.
No, I've seen those.
No, here's what I know, Susan. I am so glad you and I, there's a world where we didn't end up together, because you would have been a total enabler of all my OCD bullcrap. Like you are an enabler, part of the problem here.
But our house would have been been spick and span.
All right, last one. And I thought this one was, Brad, I'll tell you what, you might have had this number one, because I know you're a man who likes to get to the point. You're a guy who likes to do whatever we're here to do and then get out and get on with our lives. The last one, overstaying your welcome.
Yes, absolutely. You know, a good sign is when the host starts turning off lights and music. And, you know, the article it talked about, like, if they get in their pajamas, you know, that's a telltale sign that it's time for you to boogie. So I appreciated that because I am not a late night person. So I start to retire, you know, probably much earlier than Micah. I'm more of a morning person. So anyways, yes, overstaying your welcome is a good reminder for you to keep as you're visiting and going to other people's homes.
Brad, you have many parties at your house. Have you ever had somebody who has clearly overstayed their welcome?
Oh, yes. We've gone to cleaning and doing other tasks. Sometimes I forget that when you invite people over, you give them a start time and an end time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yes, Brad, that's perfect. I don't know if that's number one, but maybe it is, because time is maybe one of our most valuable resources. And the fact that it should be pretty obvious when somebody has reached a point of boredom or over you being in their premises that you can't get the memo and skedoodle on out the door. That is pretty egregious, Susan.
Yeah, you have to go back to thinking about your host, because they've been well preparing in advance before you get there. So they've probably been cleaning, preparing food. So it's already been a longer day for them. And while obviously they're excited to host you, you know, you want to be aware of all the effort they put in before you ever even got there.
Brad, of the big three that we came up with for this segment, snooping, touching or moving things, or overstaying your welcome, which is the most egregious thing, rudest thing you can do in somebody else's house?
Probably overstaying your welcome.
I agree. Yeah, that's why we saved it for last. All right, Susan Beckwith, tell us about your fabulous website and Facebook page, Belle of the Midwest.
Yeah, it's a great place to get in touch with me. It's also where you could submit your etiquette questions that potentially we'll cover on air. But I'd love to hear from you. And like Rob said, if you don't follow me already on Facebook and Instagram, you can find me at Belle of the Midwest.
Belle of the Midwest.com and on Facebook. Susan Beckwith, you're the best. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
All right, Brad, that's going to do it for us today. You did a phenomenal job, as always.
Thanks, Rob. I enjoyed being here.
Everybody have a great, safe, and happy weekend. Casey will be back Monday. Stick around. Tony Katz coming up next. It's Kendall Casey Show, 93 WIBC.